Welcome, Green Future Growers. I'm your host, Jackie Marie Beyer. Let's get growing. Do you love to listen to audio as much as I do? Have you ever tried an audiobook? As a fan of this podcast, you must already enjoy listening to stories just like I do. Well, the Organic Gardener Podcast has teamed up with Audible to offer you a free audiobook. Just go to www.organicgardenerpodcast.com/book or just type book into the search bar at theorganicgardenerpodcast.com and you can get entered to get listening to your first audiobook today. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear John. Happy birthday to you. I have to wish a special happy birthday to John Moore from Organic World News, who will always have a very special place in my heart because he was one of the very first people to not just listen to the Organic Gardener podcast, but also to reach out to me and comment on my post. And so wishing you a very happy birthday and a magical trip around the sun, John. Welcome to the Organic Gardener podcast today. I am super excited to introduce my featured guest, Elena Shimetta. She has a business called Dig It Garden Tools, and I reached out to her because I think you're going to find one of these tools might become the tool that you couldn't live without before. She's got an amazing background in gardening, and so her and Paul is her son, and they live in the Seattle area of Washington. And so here today to tell us about her gardening journey and their business and their great tools is Elena Shimetta. So welcome to the show, Elena.
Thank you, but Elena. I don't live Elena. In Washington. I did live in Washington when the whole company started, but I'm now in California, so it's a completely different thing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Where in California? Like Northern California or Southern California or in the middle what part?
Southern California, so it was a really big shock to go from Washington, which is nice and cool and damp, down to sunny California, where we have been breaking records for heat. And it's always it's been in the 90s for the last few weeks, which is very unusual, I've been told. So anyhow, wow.
That is a big change from rainy Seattle to Southern California. So
yeah.
Do you want to tell us a little bit about I always like to start the show asking about your very first gardening experience. Like, who were you with? Were you a kid? Were you an adult? Like, what was the first thing you grow that you can tell us about?
It's funny. I didn't really start gardening till I was maybe in my 20s, which is like 60 years ago. And I remember we moved a lot. And this was the age when engineers and their families moved from one coast to another, and we moved by maybe like 20 times. And so I'd plant strawberries that somebody else could harvest. And so I never did get to pick my own strawberries. So that was my first gardening experience, probably was maybe planting a lily bulb. And it would always take me an hour to do anything because I'd have to dig everything up and replace all the soil and decide what amendments the soil needed, and always had to read my Sunset Garden book. So, and Sunset wrote about us three times, and so it's worked out very well.
Nice. Well, it sounds like you've probably got more experience than most people from having to, you know, start over and being in all these different areas. So then how did you come across like learning how to garden organically or using earth friendly techniques? Like, did you just start out that way or over the years, or where did that come from?
Oh, I just think it's just something that you just sort of naturally do, especially when you're my age, because I don't know that there was a lot of stuff that you could put in the garden back when. It doesn't just happen. I guess it just does happen. So anyhow.
So do you have a garden growing this year? Do you want to tell us about something that grew well?
Well, the big problem is that really when I lived in Seattle, I could grow incredible tomatoes. And I noticed that my daughter, who lives like 5 minutes away from me and has lived in California for 20 years, she doesn't have any tomatoes. And I thought, well, that's very strange. And so anyhow, so last year, this is only the second growing season that I've lived here. And last year, my tomatoes weren't very good. And this year, they're even worse. But, you know, I'm kind of attributing that to probably the, you know, the heat records, like almost, well, they really at 100 some days. And so maybe I've just boiled them to death. Or I don't know what it is. But I haven't done very well with my tomatoes, but I've done really well with my gora, which is, I think everybody knows that by its common name, which is whirling butterflies. And then I even planted a really exotic thing that I could never plant in any of the other places that I lived, a plant called poinciana. There was an old song ages ago that was called poinciana. And it's an amazing fern-like leaf thing, and it makes these incredibly beautiful bright orange flowers. And so I couldn't resist that. So that's doing pretty well. So yeah, so just the gora and the poinciana and a whole bunch of sedums and native grasses are doing pretty well. But other than that, well, then my herbs are just fine, at least most of them. So yeah, so that's what I've been planting now.
What kind of herbs do you have down there in Southern California that are growing?
I have basil and lemongrass, lemon thyme, which I've never really done very well with, but now they're just fine. And what is that other plant? It's just something that not very many people grow, but I like it. I put it in everything. What is it? Wow, sage. Yeah, sage is doing well.
Yum.
And the peppermint isn't doing badly either.
Good to know. So is there something you're excited to try different next year, or something new that you've never done before, maybe, that you're going to do down there, or even this summer still, or in the fall?
No, I'm just trying to survive the summer. I'm not really thinking about next year. I'm just trying to survive this year. It's so crazy. You know, I look at the temperatures everywhere. I have a sister in Rhode Island. I look at the temperature there, and it's really nice and moderate, and Seattle is quite cool still. But here, holy mackerel, it's really, really hot. So I have to go out for a walk before 9, and before 8 is even better. So, like, wow.
Yep, that summer, I've been whining. It's been hot up here in Montana. We had like a whole week of 98 degrees last week, 99, and it was just too hot for me.
Oh,
but this
okay.
week's a little better.
Yeah, so okay. So what do you grow? Because whatever you grow, maybe that would do well here if it's that hot and harsh up there.
My sage plant just died, so I've been trying to replace my sage plant. I have a lot of oregano, basil. We've been growing a lot of basil this year. We have mint, thyme, chives, echinacea, just your basics. One thing I've struggled with is my rosemary. I can never seem to keep a rosemary plant alive.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I've got rosemary. So, my rosemary is doing well, too. Yeah, but I can't seem to grow the chives. They just seem to like to be cool. And so yours are doing okay?
Yeah. But I mean, now they're spent, you know, and they're like the first thing that comes up in the spring.
Yeah.
And so they do better. They definitely do better in the cool for sure. So do you want to tell us, like, how did you tell us about your tools? Like, you have, there's three main tools that you created. Is that right?
Well, actually, I'm only responsible for the first one. And the first one really has kind of an interesting story because it starts in the east and it ends up in the west. When we were raising our six kids, we could only afford to go camping. And so we had this great, huge Bemis canvas tent with a sewn-in floor that was held down by foot-long tent sticks. And then we moved to California, to Washington, and to the Seattle area in general, because I lived in three different cities there. And anyhow, I was out weeding, and I just had the stupid claw kind of a thing. And it just kind of messed up everything, but it left the roots in. So I went down rummaging in my basement, and I found one of the old tent stakes, and I thought, no, that might work. And so I got the tent stake, and that was wonderful because I could get between the good stuff and the bad stuff. And so my son saw me weeding with it one day, and he said, well, it would be more comfortable with a handle on it. And he shouldn't have said that, because then that kind of got me thinking. And yeah, and so anyhow, it took him a whole blooming year to figure out how to make a nice, pointy, tough tool with a soft, comfortable handle. And he tried all kinds of stuff and ended up with cement. And anyhow, so that was the Digit. And then Paul said that people told him, okay, we love the Digit, but we need something that will get into tiny cracks and cement and stuff. And so then he came up with the Duck. And it kind of looked like a duck with a little hole to hang it on. And so that got us a Duck. And that was that. And then, you know, we branched out into the Hori, which that's my favorite tool now, because it's kind of shallow.
Really?
Yeah, the Digit Hori is absolutely amazing. And so that's the story of Digit. So it started out in the Adirondacks camping, and it got developed in Seattle. And that was that.
And how long have you had this business for?
Oh, wow. I think we started in 1997. And I sent one of the tools to a garden writer. And she then wrote an article about the tool, because she really liked it. That was just the original Digit. And then when my son and I were selling it to one of the big garden shows in Seattle, I saw a bunch of Sunset people, and so I gave one of them my card and some tools, and she lost the tools, but she had the card, and she called me and interviewed me, and they then wrote a little tiny, tiny article. And we didn't have a website at the time. We didn't have anything except my phone number. So people from all over the country called me, and it was wonderful because I talked to everybody. And it lasted for 2 years, and even 5 years after that article had been written, people still called me and said, oh, I saw the article in my doctor's office. And so they would order the tool, and then they would send me I would give them my address. They would send me a check. I would send them the tool, and it was just fun.
That's amazing. I love this story. This is so wonderful and exciting, and just what a great, you know, entrepreneurial business. So to just take off and build something yourself and figure out how to put a handle on it. And so congratulations for doing all that.
Well, the interesting thing too is that Paul, you know, is a mechanical engineer. My degree is in fine art, and so then the stores wanted us to make some kind of a poster that explains how to use the tool, because it isn't like any other tool, and so I could do that, and so it really worked out amazingly well.
Cool. Well, what an exciting adventure. You've got these cool tools that are great for weeding and pulling, seeding and planting bulbs and just, clearing your area. And then, so then how did you come up with the Hori Hori knife?
I guess that one of my, son's friends was working for a landscaper, and he had a hori-hori. And so, and you know what that word means, right? Hori?
Does it, I want to say it means dig. Is that
right? Right. No? And so
it
anyhow,
oh.
Yeah, so it's just an ancient Japanese thing. And, but, and there are lots and lots of horis. There have been, you know, people, you can get them at all kinds of prices. But we think our hori is the best. And so anyhow, I guess that Paul's done some kind of a coating on it, and it will never rust, and it's stainless steel inside, and it's all kinds of good things. And then he'd give the tools to another garden writer, Cisco Morris in Seattle. And good old Cisco would test stuff and break stuff if possible. And so if Cisco could break it, then Paul had to make an improvement on it. And so that just got developed that way.
Oh, what an interesting story. Well, awesome. Okay, and so if they want to find these tools, they go to digitgardentools.com. And I'll put the links in the show notes so that listeners can go right from, if they just go to the Organic Gardener podcast, they can just click on the link. Before we get to the root of things, we're going to thank our sponsors and affiliate links. Organifi Green Juice is a gently dried superfood mix that supports health, mental clarity, while detoxifying your body all in one delicious drink. What I love about Organifi, it makes me feel great. It's easy. It doesn't take much time. It's full of nutrients and superfoods that I have a hard time getting anywhere else, and it just tastes delicious. Now, as a teacher, you all know that our time is totally limited. I have kids in my classroom from 7:30 in the morning till 6 o'clock at night. So just even using this simple thing can be difficult for me, but I can pull it off and so can you. If you want to feel good and get all your greens in a simple, easy drink, remember you can get a discount as an Organic Gardener podcast listener by entering code OGP16, and Organifi will give you a 15% discount now. So just go to Organifi.com and when you go to check out, enter code OGP16, and they'll give you 15% off your order anytime. Did you know that you could support the Organic Gardener podcast without doing anything differently? If you're going to buy something on Amazon.com, since I'm an Amazon affiliate, if you go to Amazon through a link on my page, which every book that is listed on my website is linked to Amazon.com, you don't have to buy that book, but anything you buy that day from Amazon will give me a very, very small commission, but I got to tell you, it would sure help pay for, you know, just some of the basics it costs to keep the podcast up there. And now let's get to the root of things. What's your least favorite activity to do in the garden? Is like, is there something that you have to force yourself to get down there and do?
Not really. Well, yeah. Well, I suppose that the miserable little clover is just about the worst foe. Because of its underground roots. So there again, the digger is good for that because you just kind of tunnel under. You play submarine, but it's a pain in the butt.
Ha, and then on the flip side, what's your favorite activity to do in the garden?
Everything else. I just like being out there. It's kind of, as everybody always says, it soothes my soul. Rather. And so it's just whatever you were worried about, you just don't even remember it when you come back in again. So it's just an amazing therapy for everybody, for everything.
Oh, I like the way you put that. How about, what's the best gardening advice you've ever received?
I don't know. Oh, probably to plant tomatoes really deep so that they'll make more roots. But for some reason, it doesn't work here. So I don't know what. But it did work in Seattle. Seattle, wow, I could grow amazing tomatoes. Isn't that strange?
Well, I think that, like, you know, it's interesting because the girl I was just talking to before this, we were talking about climate change and how the, you know, just differences are going on in different places. And California is one of them that's experiencing extreme weather. So maybe, like you said, it's like they got too hot too fast, maybe, or I don't know. It could be probably a number of things. What's your soil like that you're growing them in?
I really don't know. It's kind of sandy, but it's also clayey. It's just really crazy. And so I'm endlessly adding compost to it.
Oh. Well, I guess we'll have to see what comes along. I'm sure one of these years you'll figure it out, or one of these seasons. So is that why your daughter didn't grow tomatoes? Because they're too challenging? Do you have, like, other neighbors that are growing them?
It's funny. I, in the area that I live in, nobody seems to grow very much of anything. California is a funny place because people either don't garden or they have a gardener do their yards. So I can see why, you know, something like you get food to sell that well in California. It's funny.
I was in California last spring in for Easter, like right around, I think it was April that we were there. I was in L.A. down by Venice Beach, and I was surprised at how fragrant it was. And it just felt like you were walking around in this perfume bottle. But definitely everybody's garden was locked up. There were gates on everybody's yard and things, which surprised me. But definitely a beautiful. I had my previous memories of LA were not pleasant, and this trip was just amazing. So, but, you know, now that you say that, I don't remember seeing a lot of tomatoes. It was definitely a lot of flowers, just flowers everywhere. I didn't see as many vegetables in the area where I was at. I did a lot of walking because I just flew in, took a bus to an Airbnb, and then I was there for a podcasting workshop, and it was, I don't know, I just walked everywhere. I didn't have a car or anything. So, how about your favorite tool? Well, I guess your favorite tool would be, you said, was the Hori Hori knife, right?
Right.
How about a favorite recipe you like to cook from the garden?
Mainly I would just put, you know, slices of tomato on a piece of pizza that I make. And so, yeah, so I use my own, I don't have any peppers of my own. So yeah, I have a problem with that. I don't really cook that much. Mainly, I've always grown flowers because I make beautiful bouquets. And when I was working in the Bellevue School District, and I used to bring in flowers for everybody. And I remember once I had an amazing peony, and it would be closed in the morning. It would open in the afternoon, and so I would bring it into the counseling center. And kids would come in just to watch the flower open over the day, the day that they were there. And so it was really exciting and fun. And so, like, really my garden was always my painting. So mainly I was growing flowers forever. I didn't grow that many vegetables even back in Seattle other than the tomatoes. And oh yeah, the usual arugula. Yeah, because I love arugula.
Mm.
Yeah.
I love arugula too.
Yeah.
Do you have a favorite internet resource by any chance? Do you get on the internet at all?
Yeah, I do my email all the time. I don't really have that much of a resource. I mean, I don't really look up stuff. I make up my own recipes for the most part. Whatever's hanging around, I kind of throw it in. And I never make any vegetables without putting ginger root and garlic in it. Yeah, so the problem is, it's not a problem, it's really, it's kind of a solution, is that we go to a farmer's market every single week, and they have amazing stuff. This is where I got introduced to persimmons, which I had heard of, but I didn't know what they were or how you ate them or what they even were. So the farmer's markets are absolutely amazing. They're just a real adventure. And so, you know, like right now, peaches and nectarines and plums are in season. another time there'll be grapes, and another time there'll be the persimmons, and then there'll be the Brussels sprouts, and it just goes on and on. It's just absolutely amazing.
I think that's an awesome resource. We're always trying to promote people going to their farmers markets and supporting local businesses and supporting, you know, your local farmer people just trying to grow healthy, nutritious food. So that's an awesome resource. Yeah. How about a favorite book or like a reading material, a magazine or?
Well, the main book, my main book is my Sunset Western Garden book. And no matter what I plant, I always have to look it up. And, you know, even though I've been gardening for 60 years, I will still always look it up just in case there's something else that I don't remember. So, yeah, so that just sits on our table in my living room and it never goes away.
I love that. Because I love books and I love looking at things over and over again. So that's a great thing to hear. So, do you have any advice for listeners if they like maybe came up with their own tool or developed some other thing? Like, do you have any business advice to share with people?
I don't know. You just have to have a certain combination of creativity and technical know-how. And so, you know, if they have that and they have, you know, an idea, or if they have a problem and then they find a solution, then, you know, they can just come up with it. So that's how Digit got started.
That's great advice. Cause like I listen to a lot of business podcasts and they constantly talk about, find a problem, find a solution. And you know, that's how you, cause a lot of people like, you know, they want to start their own business, but they really don't know what to do. And they talk a lot about, you know, listening to people, find a problem that needs fixed. There's always problems. Like people think that there's never going to be any more problems. We've solved everything and we're so not even, you know, we're never going to be there because things are always tweaking and changing. And, you know, look at the Hori Hori knife has been used and, but yet you came up with one that's, you know, better than others. So
yeah.
Premium product is the way to be. Okay. Well, thanks so much for coming on and sharing and giving Skype a chance today. I know you were a little hesitant about that, but look how easy that worked out. And we'll encourage listeners to go to your website and check out digitgardentools.com and just have a great day.
Okay, thank you.
If you know somebody who would benefit from the Organic Gardener podcast, we would just love it if you would share it with a friend. Thanks again for listening and remember to grow.